Okay. Malachi Perigimel, Pasuk, Pasuk Zayin. Do we finish with the Malbim? We didn't finish the Malbim yet. Pasuk Vav and Zayin in the Malbim, page 890. Okay, 895. We did all the Mari Chazal. Okay, only thing we have left to, for some reason we went out of order. I don't know why, but for some reason we went out of order. Good morning, Rabbi Chol.
Reason Makdimi.
Eight nine.
But we've been a little shy of the reason.
I have to do teshuvah. I have to do teshuvah. Shearing it at 9:30.
So where are we
today?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, page 895. We're in again Malachi Perigimel. We spent last week discussing Pesach Zayin, Pesach Vav, Pesach Zayin. Oh, now Meir is here. Now we really start. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin, and we've done everything except for the Malbim. Pasuk Vav 895. Ki ani Hashem lo yishanisi me'olam es tivari ve'avtachasi avani hivtachti l'ha'avos. I promised the avos bal achala oisam v'asher lo yishanisi es tivtachasi. Okay, so right away in the very beginning over here, according to the Malbim, over here is not. He's giving us a very simple translation of these words. We've learned many different ideas. Mainly, the thrust of most of the farshim on these two psukim is Hashem is responding to the accusation of Klal Yisrael that Hashem enjoys or takes pleasure in the tzaddikim suffering, and Hashem responded that is nonsense. I never ever took pleasure in witnessing the suffering of a tzaddik. Never happened and never will happen. All the mefarshim just taken on a very simple level. Similar as Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. I have never deviated from my promises to the avos here. The Malm over here reads it in that fashion. Hashem says, I promised your ancestors that I would be good to you and good to them, and therefore nothing has changed. I have never changed from my words, my promises. I promised the avos bal achale oisam I would not destroy them. And just as I never deviated from my promise to them, therefore atem bnei Yaakov lo chilisem v'alkein ani muchroch lefroya mikem tekev esavonoseichem. Okay, so now he's coming to introduce a little bit of a new idea. Therefore, Hashem, therefore I have no choice but to punish you, because this goes back to the old principle. If I'm going to allow you to accumulate too many sins, then when I will punish you, it will be overwhelming, and I may have to completely, you may not be able to withstand the punishment. Therefore, I have to punish you little by little so that you will endure forever. Why must you endure forever? Because I promised your ancestors that you would survive forever. So he's saying a little bit of a twist. This is a little bit of a twist. The reason why we generally like to understand this principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he punishes us little by little, because if he would punish us too much, it would be overwhelming and we would be destroyed.
Yeah, it's like small doses instead of an overdose.
But it goes over here, he's injecting one more prat, one more detail, and the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do this is because since he promised the others that we would endure forever, therefore Hashem has to have a plan how we will endure forever by punishing us little by little. Hashem never made a promise to the ancestors of the goyim. Ani mamtin, I wait. Hashem allows them to accumulate sin. Hashem gives them a pass, and they do terrible averos, and it accumulates to a degree, and then the time comes when they are thoroughly wiped out. The oz yichul legam ibchei perish chazal pasuk zim perikam desaita shakadosh baruch hu nifam yishol maat maat. Little by little, They bring a proof from this pasuk, and Yashem lo shonisi. So this is a very critical pasuk. According to this pasuk, it's really according to the Gemara. This pasuk is really one of the fundamental psukim of Yadus. Klal Yishol has suffered. Klal Yishol has suffered throughout the ages. Make sure it's plugged in. You want to plug it in? Yesterday it wasn't working. Make sure you see that it's working. Hashem has punished Klal Yishol throughout the ages, little by little.
It's like the punishment for the
Egel. Right, the Egel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, that's a little bit, because that was a terrible Avera. And see, that's a little bit different. There, you make a very good point. That was massive Avera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he broke up the punishment throughout history. But here he's saying a different idea is that when Klal Yisrael actually does new Averois, Hashem does not wait. There's not going to be a long delay until HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings punishment, because then it would accumulate, and then when the day would come when it would, the measure would be full and it would be necessary to punish, it would be overwhelming and we would not survive. And that, what is the source for this? Where's the chapter and verse for this principle? Right here, Ani Hashem Lo Yishonisi, the way he understands the Gemara, he's saying a little bit different over here. When he explains from the Gemara, I never punish them twice. We had this in one of the other commentators. When it comes to the other nations, it was never necessary for Hashem to punish a nation more than once. Hashem only punishes a nation once. What does that mean? Hashem allows them to accumulate sin, and the measure gets larger and larger and larger until the measure is totally full. And then in one shot, Hashem brings punishment and they are wiped out. It's not necessary for there to be a double punishment. But for Klal Yisrael, there is multiple punishments so that our measure, we would survive. There's maybe Rabbi Pasek, Zani Hashem Lo Yishonisi. Me Oilam, never. Lohi Kesi, Uma. I never hit a nation. Vishonisi La, and it was not never necessary for me to repeat the punishment. Avul bad v'atem b'nei Yaakov l'chilisem, you I never destroyed. Harei be'arnu shalachay ma'anishem tekev kadesh lo yichlu be'es shetesma lehasa. But you, Klal Yisrael, I never destroyed, in the past tense. And we always mention that when we write in the prophecy, the past is the present, is the future. Because by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the future is as if it already happened. You have never been destroyed, and therefore it is necessary for Hashem to punish us multiple times as a technique to guarantee our survival. Immediately, so that you should not be completely destroyed when your measure of sin is full. Okay, so this is a fundamental pasuk in Judaism, in Yadus. Klal Yisrael always asks, why do the Jews suffer? Okay, the Goyim always asks this. This is something which many commentators and many historians, even Goyish historians, why is it that the Jewish people have suffered throughout the ages so much more so than all other nations? And the truth is, it's not really true, because Klal Yisrael, they're not looking at the flip side. Klal Yisrael is still here. We haven't changed from time of Matan Torah, whereas all the nations of the world, they're gone. They're completely obliterated. They don't exist. The nations come, nations go. What's the difference? It's because we suffer so much. And what do we mean we suffer? Hashem brings upon us suffering piecemeal, a little piece at a time, small dosages. So the small dosages are not overwhelming. At least so it seems. I mean, at least it's not so simple such a thing, because the Holocaust and all the other horrors of Jewish history. But at least we survive. Klal Yisrael, indeed, historians, they look at the Jewish people. That's right, we suffer a lot. But take note, our suffering is in moderation.
Well,
whatever that means, right?
Yeah, I mean,
whatever that means.
In the wider perspective.
I mean, how do you say the Holocaust is in moderation? How do you say the Crusades?
It's up and down, and here and there.
Hashem knows exactly what he's doing, and he brings multiple dosages of punishment so that we can survive. The other nations of the world, they can go for generations. Nothing happens to them. And then one day, poof, what?
Is this
this the Makor we say Hashem doesn't give you a maka that you can't bear?
No, I mean, we spoke about that. That's a very controversial thing. Hashem does not give us a maka, there's a punishment that he cannot survive. You want to say this the Makor, that Hashem gives a person in small dosages? I hear what you're saying. You're saying a very, very good idea. This idea that people say that Hashem does not give you a nesoyon that you cannot handle.
I think you have to distinguish between individual and the nation.
Okay, an individual and the nation. That's another principle, is that the nation will always survive, but not, there's no guarantee that each individual in the nation will merit to be part of that group.
In certain situations, it's been that assimilation would have came about that we would have destroyed ourselves.
True.
As there's a hashkacha process as well. Besides punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us that we should.
All these are dimensions,
a different piece of one big puzzle. And this, all of these things do come together to paint one big picture. But this principle that we've read in the Malbim, which is really quoting from the Gemara, is essential. Okay, it is essential, this Yesoid, this principle, and the words are here, Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. The way the Gemara understands that, number one, the subject. Who is the subject of lo yishanisi? The Umay Soila. How do you know that? Because the next word of the Pasuk is V'atem b'nei Yaakov lo chiyanisi. So if the end of the Pasuk explicitly focuses on Klal Yisrael, that implies that the beginning of the Pasuk is discussing the nations of the world. And the word shanisi here means a second round. It was never necessary to give the Umayyad Ha'olam punishment. Again, the subject also is, what is the shanisi? Punishment. The subject is the nations of the world. The topic is punishment. It was never necessary for Hashem to bring a second dosage of punishment upon the Umayyad Ha'olam. Why? Because by the Umay Yisraelim, Hashem allows them to accumulate averos, and Hashem gives them a pass, and this can go on for generations, and then the measure is full, and payday comes, and they can't pay off their debts. And what happens? There's a hostile takeover. Okay, I told you, I had a friend, it's unbelievable, I had a friend, and he's in a very interesting business. He deals with emergency signs. Like you see over here, the exit signs, sign, and there's all the real, like you see over here on the floor for the wires. He deals with these type of safety things. And a lot of the stuff that he has, they don't make in the United States. They make it in China. In China, because it's very expensive, and the chemicals that they use to make some of these things that glow in the dark are very dangerous and very expensive. So they import this stuff from China, and everything is custom made. And there's a lot of money to be made in this business. And there's a lot of competition. And you can get a job at a moment's notice to do construction, and you don't have the materials. The materials are not easy to get. And so he had some competitors. So he had a competitor. He was doing very well. He had a competitor. The competitor told him, whenever you need something, just call me. I'll supply you. If you get a good job, you know, I'll be nice to you. So he thought he was being nice to him. So Vahia Yom, he got a job. He went. And he called him up. Yeah, I need this. Yeah, I got it. He supplied everything that is. So how much? Yeah, don't worry. Yeah, when you have money, you'll pay me. It happened again, and he didn't even want to take money. He pushed him away. No, you'll pay me another time. So he thought, my friend thought he was being very nice to him. This happened went over of 2 years, and then what happened? It's now pay up time. You owe me an enormous amount of money. And he was startled because he didn't have the money. So I said, I don't have the money. So he says, okay, you know what? So I'll take over 50% of your company.
It's like a loan shark.
Yeah. And he then realized that it was clear as day to him, this was the plan from the very beginning. The whole thing was a setup. This is what they do. He fell right into it. This was mamish, the plan from the very beginning. You go and you lend people money and you do it, because anyway, you probably all the materials. And then, you come, you have them, you can't pay, so I'll take over your company, I'll for me. And he had to borrow a lot of money. He knew he would lose his mamash, his whole parnasa. So he borrowed a lot of money, and he just barely survived. And then the whole business went down the drain. But now, Baruch Hashem, after COVID, he's really doing Baruch Hashem. He's doing very, very, very well now. It's a lot of work. He's a big hustler. He runs all over the country. But this is exactly what the principle of this pasuk. Ani Hashem lo yishanisi. Hashem is setting them up. Hashem is doing this. Hashem is mamish engaging in this activity because they deserve it. Because they're Rishoyim. The Umar Yisraelim are Rishoyim.
By choice.
By choice. They don't have any rachmanis on them. But Baruch Morning. They are mamish Rishon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oh, you did an Aveira? You did an Aveira? Okay. Okay, don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's a loan. It's a loan. Another Aveira. Another Aveira. And before you turn around, time passes, generations pass, and then Hashem says, Adkan, it's payday. Payday, no payday means you're done.
Or payback
day, you're done, you're finished. You're off the map. There's a takeover, a hostile takeover. You're finished. By Klal Yisrael, Hashem does not allow that to happen. Hashem, Ve'atem b'nei Yaakov, lo'y chilisim, achilisem. I never allowed you to be destroyed. And it's also meant to be interpreted in the future tense, because prophecy, there's no tense in prophecy. I will always make sure that you pay up when you need to, piece by piece, to make sure that I never need to, chas v'shalom, to destroy you. You, and therefore you will be punished multiple times. Okay, this is mamish a yesoid, a basic principle in Jewish history. In Judaism, the history of Klal Yisrael, according, is based upon this piece of Gemara in Masoita, Daf Tes, and the Malbim over here, he really nails it. He really puts it, brings it out. Rashi and the Mitzudas didn't do that. They went off on an entirely different approach, which we did last week, of what this pasuk, the focus of this pasuk. Pasuk Zayin, Limimei, Maschil. Now we're coming over here to start a new section, and we this is like a question, and we stopped in the middle. I mean, we stopped in the middle, but just to review, read the pasuk very clearly inside one more time. Limimei avosechem saitim michukai. V'lo shemat shemaritem. Hashem gives Musar to Klal Yisrael by mentioning them that from time immemorial you have deviated from my laws and you have not guarded them, and now Hashem makes a request. Shuva elav yoshuva aleichem. Please do teshuva. You take the first step. We discussed this last week. There are some sukkim in Tanakh where we are instructed we must take the first step. And there are other psukim in Tanakh which indicate that Hashem takes the first step. We finished off on Friday. That's the difference between Chanukah and Purim. Chanukah, Hashem took the first step. We did nothing. We sat around doing nothing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, the Maccabees, the Maccabees, the five sons of Matasyo, Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, five sons, they were warriors. Okay, they were warriors. The emphasis was not on, at least you don't find it explicitly, we know it to be true, in Tzfilah. They didn't gather the entire Klal Yisrael. They on their own went out to fight. They were Hishtadlonim. They went to battle. And they were granted super natural Siyata Deshmaya Nisim Lemaila Miderech HaTeva Giboidim Biat Chaloshim Ram Biat Miatim Tzmeim Biat Tohardim Shem Biat Tzadikim. This was all Lemaila Miderech HaTeva to survive without a public teshuva like in the time of Purim. Purim, we only survived because Leich Kinois Es Kol HaYehudim Hanim Sim Bishu Shavit Simu Olai. The whole Klal Yisrael got together. That we mentioned on Friday, the famous vart, the difference between the grager and the dreidel. The grager, you shake from below. The dreidel, you spin from above. This symbolizes where the spinning came from. Chanukah in Shemayim, they were very busy. They were bringing about miracles. They were spinning the world. Purim, it was bottom up. It was us, Leich Kinois Es Kol HaYehudim. We're the ones who went spinning to bring about a change, to guarantee our survival. Purim fulfills what it says, Shuvu Eli. You, Klal Yisrael, you take the first step. And the other psukim, which we learned last week, I don't remember, other psukim we had in the Mamre Chazal, other psukim which says, no, where Hashem takes the first step. So, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chaim. Obviously, there's always a blend, there are elements, dimensions of both that go together. And just some situations demand that we take the first step. In some situations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachamim, and he takes the first step. So that's what's over here in this pasuk. Yeshua Lechem, and over here we have the ultimate chutzpah. Okay? Be'ikvus of the Mashiach, chutzpah yaskei. And the times of Mashiach, chutzpah will be out of control. And there are many dimensions to what that means. What? Sorry?
Will proliferate.
Proliferate. The proliferation of chutzpah. As is pardon. And that is true in multiple dimensions. I even saw this morning, today I was glancing at the news, even though I shouldn't do that before I come to share, that there's a member of the House of Representatives that put forth legislation, you believe this, in America, that after a person has three children, they should come to his home and arrest him and sterilize him. Okay, could you believe such a thing?
Yeah,
no,
like
here in the United States of America.
But yeah, it sounds like China.
Right, it sounds like China. We hope, you know, things we never imagined happening. But just the chutzpah, even to suggest and to present legislation, it will be shot down in a second. I hope so. We live in a crazy country here. Who knows? But this is al zeh ne'amar. An elected official to advance legislation for such a thing?
But it's good.
Why is it good?
Because this will bury that legislator. This will put the end
in. No, it won't. That's what I used to think. It plants seeds. I used to think like you. I used to think like that. And how have I? And when someone goes, because so crazy, so then they become... But in the long term, it plants seeds in people's minds.
It puts an idea into their head.
And maybe not right away. In 10 years from now, people begin to become crazier and crazier and crazier. In 20 years ago, would it even such a thing happen? It wouldn't even be have a mean such a thing. So it's al zeh ne'amar be'ikvaso de Mashiach chutz v'yaske. It says in the Parshas Bereishis. Now there's all this crazy talk about depopulation. There are too many people in the world. It says in the all this big, there was a lot of talk last week. Everything hafeich ba'afeich b'kulubah. It says in the Torah, piru urevu umilu es ha'aretz v'chiv shuha. What does it have to say, umilu es ha'aretz? Fill up the earth. What's umilu es ha'aretz? It's not your business. It's not your business to depopulate the world. Your business is to populate the world. Don't worry about how everyone will survive in a world of what you think to be too many. The Torah says umilu es ha'aretz. There are people today engaged in an agenda of the complete opposite of umilu. Is to empty the world, to depopulate the world. There are majorly people involved in this activity. Look, the whole China is all about it. Whole China, they used to be can't have more than one child.
They just raised it to three.
To two or three, or two, whatever. So, I mean, that's serious stuff. The Torah says, oh, how are we going to survive? How are we going to survive in this world? I don't know. I'll tell you a story I really shouldn't be telling you, but I'll tell you anyway. I have a friend, this goes like many, many years. You wouldn't believe such a story. And it was someone, it's a very complicated story. It was a very complicated story because of different health issues. There were some very serious health issues. And there was someone taking care of this person. Taking care of Mamish, who was Moisir Nevish, taking care of this person. This person he was taking care of every year had a baby. Mamish every year had a baby. And this person that was taking care of him really felt that it was a sakana. It was sakana, the way that was going on, you know, everything with financial support. So he took this person, I couldn't believe it, he took them, he made an appointment with a very big, very well-known Rosh HaYeshiva, who was very influential, very, very, very powerful, and to discuss this issue. So this Rosh Yeshiva spoke to the couple, and this particular Rosh Yeshiva, he like seemed like in a very delicate way to mention like, you know, slow down. So the wife said to this Rosh Yeshiva, don't tell me what to do. I want to have as many children as Hashem will give me. And she said in a very forceful way. And this Rosh Yeshiva, he right away melted away. He melted. He said, okay, I guess the sitting was like, if you're up to it, okay. But umilu es haaretz, fill up the world. Fill up the world. Why'd I have to say that? If it would not have said those words, you wouldn't know the difference. Peru urevu v'chivshu. Be fruitful and multiply and conquer the world. Why did I have to say umilu es haaretz? There's probably never a generation in the history of the world that appreciated what those words mean. It means you don't worry about the world. Your goal is fill up the world. Don't engage to dedicate your life to depopulating the world. Hello, chutzpah, yes. What is chutzpah? To take whatever it says in the Torah and to go to war. Everything, you look around what's going on in the world. It's unbelievable. Everything that's going on in this world, the agendas, it's mamash a pasuk in the Torah. Pum fakat.
Many countries are already within 40 or 50 years of past the point of no return as far as population growth, especially the European and, you know, Asian and other countries.
What do you mean by that?
Demographically, people are having fewer and fewer kids.
On their own.
Families are being...
On their own. On their own.
The concept of family is being...
Okay, but no one's forcing them. There's a difference. Being forced? Okay.
No, not being forced.
Right, not on their own.
The governments can't figure out what to do, either to import people or to try to provide incentives, but it's the slope is irreversible in many...
Right, but I'm talking about forcing a person has a choice.
Exactly.
The entire Torah is built on free will. Free will. This concept of free will is a Jewish concept. No, it's not a Jewish concept. It's a free will.
I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Europe is dying.
Okay, but to tell people how many children they can have, and
that's not working well for China.
It's a milchemes Hashem. It's a milchemes Hashem. Hashem says umilu es haaretz, and for a country to go cap limits on the population, it would appear to be a violation of a direct order.
Yeah.
How are they gonna survive? How are they gonna survive? We'll figure it out. We'll figure out how you're gonna survive.
Demographically, we don't populate less than what, 10% of the...
Even less.
Less
even less. Okay, but you need an infrastructure.
Land,
but you need an infrastructure. Look at Lakewood. In Lakewood, there's a ton of land. There is so much land, but there's a ban in a certain place. You can't build anymore. There's no water. We can't provide water. Even though we have so much land in this area, well, there's not enough water. There's not enough pipes for sewage. There's not enough electricity. There's not enough dry highways. It's already gridlock. So even though you have a lot of land, you need the infrastructure to support the people.
Even the United States for Jews, there's many other communities and areas to start growing and expanding.
Yeah, there definitely is in other places. You have to go to, that's what my point is. Okay, so you have to build infrastructure. All right, let's go by, this is not our topic. Let's go further over here, conclude over here this idea. Back in the Malbum, finish of the Malbum. So we went through this pasuk. Now here's the Martin Bamen Noshuf. So we got into the chutzpah. The chutzpah here is the klal yishol, the response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're telling us to do teshuvah. What should we do? We're perfect. What, we already discussed all the different mefarshim. We went through already some mefarshim discussing what exactly is the question. What are they saying? Now let's see how the Malbim learns this question. It's a question of chutzpah. Pasuk zayin in the Malbim. Over here he's coming here in this pasuk, according to the Malbim, he has a different take on this pasuk, that Malachi is coming to give Musar, why are you not separating Truma and Meiser? No one said that. All the Mepharshim did not even touch upon that topic. Masil lechichem al shlo hifshu to hifshu to musa maishros av yama shekvar sartem mechukai bimei avo yoseichem. And he says to them that you have already deviated from my laws mimei avo yoseichem shlo hoyu zihirim betrumah sumaishros vani mazri eschem. Okay, he somehow, I don't know really where he sees that. I'm sure he'll come in the next psukim, maybe we'll find how he knows that the musar is focusing on the violation of separation of Trumas and Maishos, and he's telling them that this is nothing new. This sin has been taking place already for years, going back to your ancestors. And Vani Mazir Eschem Shuvu Eliv Yoshuva Alechem Ki Bavoin Trumas and Maishos Hageshamim Ne'etzarim. If you do not give Trumas and Maishos, it's not going to rain. V'chukos Shamayim Tuluyim V'chukim Elu. And the laws of nature depend upon giving Trumas Sumaitres and of rain. You're going to cause drought. You're going to cause the absence of rain. When there's no rain, there's no growth. There's no vegetation, there's starvation, and there's a lot of problems. I'll return to bring down rain and blessing. Okay, I'm sure the global warming loyalists are not going to like this pasuk, because this pasuk says that everything is minas shamayim, rain, the laws of the shamayim and the aretz are all in your hands. If you do the
Torah, Eretz Israel only.
The Trumas and Maishos only applies in Eretz Yisrael.
So we're talking about Eretz Yisrael.
But Eretz Yisrael, it trickles down. That's the principle. V'sabeinu, v'sabeinu mituva, v'sabeinu mituvecha, is that when there's blessing in Eretz Yisrael, the blessing trickles down to the entire world. So when things are being done there, Klal Yisrael is always a mashal for everyone. Okay, this concludes over here. That's how we learn this pasuk. Then v'amartem, and he does not comment. Would you believe the Malbim is silent on the next words? Okay, let's see. We didn't do this chidah. Did we do the chidah? No, let's see the chidah. Just quickly what he says over here. Page 895, the Chaymas Anach. Ki ani Hashem lo yishanisi v'atem b'nei Yaakov lo yichlisem ev shem ma'asha kosov arav sifsei koyin, the shach. Allah, he has a sefer. There's a sefer, and the shach is a baal halacha. Shulchan Aruch, but he also wrote a sefer on Chumash, and the Rosh Shach writes there, Ani Hashem. It says in the pasuk Ani Hashem, Echod Yoiser, the gematria. He's always the gematrius. Ani Hashem is Echod Yoiser Mimispar Elokim. Elokim is 86. Is that correct? Elokim, 40, 70, 75. No, so it's 70, 76.
No, no.
40, 30. 70. 86, no, 86, 87. 87. I was right. 87. And Ani Hashem is 88. Yudke 26. 26 plus 50. So 80.
Plus 60.
No.
86.
Plus 50.
Plus
60. Ani Hashem. What's Ani Hashem?
26 and 61. That's 87.
87. And then 86. 86. Okay. So 86 and 87. Ani Hashem is 87. Elokim is 86. Mr. Merrill, this is a good thing you're here. At least someone knows. I have 11. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 6 plus 5 is 11. Right?
Yeah.
I have 11 fingers. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. 11. Listen, all I tell you all the time is there are three types of people in this world. Those who know how to count and those who don't. You don't laugh, you're in trouble.
Not the first time.
Only 100 times I tell you that joke. I'm always shocked, you should know, when I tell that joke, there are some very intelligent people that don't get it. They don't get it. They're like, really, these are PhD level people. They just don't get it. They just don't have a sense of humor.
It does not compute.
Self-deprecating humor. It doesn't, their mind, they don't have that chemical. Further over here, okay, back to our Malbum, it's 71, Vurachmim, Vech Ani Hashem, Echo Yosem Israel Lukim. So he's saying is Yudke Vovke is the Midah of Rachanim. And Elohim is obviously the Midah of Din. So Rachamim trumps Din. And the only difficulty with this word is, that's not fair, because you have to add the word Ani. If it just say Hashem, Yudke Vovke, okay, I would go for it. But it says over here, you have to add Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is 76, Elohim is 87, and Elohim is 86, so it's one more fine. Then Hashem took the man, Ani Hashem. Hashem told Klal Yisrael, I am Hashem, and I will take you out of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Otzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. So Ani Hashem, I took you out of Egypt with the attribute of mercy. This is the sign. Tell the Jewish people, Ani Hashem Rachamim. Kiloimar Echad Yoiser Alokivu Rachamim. Adkan Devodaf. Who says this? He's quoting with a shach. Umotzinu Ditodir Hashem Yisbaruch Omer Loshen Zel Leneviim. V'zeh shamar ki ani Hashem. So this is a nice point. In the prophets, you find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu often he says the term ani Hashem. And ani Hashem is rachamim. That's very interesting because the prophets, more or less, they're always screaming and they're always delivering words of musar, fire and brimstone. And musar is always Elokim, midas hadin. So the Navi always, Hashem always has to go and temper and loosen up the Nevi'im. Don't get too worked up. When you give Musa to my people, dilute your Musa with Ani Hashem, with Rachamim. It's a nice word what he says here. Now he's coming over here to go take this idea into our, inject the Chidah. You see what he's doing? He's coming now, he's mamish, building a structure. He's taking this idea from the Shach that there is from the Shach that there's something called Ani Hashem and there's Elokim. Ani Hashem is Rachamim. And then he says that take note when it comes to the prophets. Hashem always introduces himself to the prophets with Ani Hashem in order to inject into their harsh nature Rachamim. And now look at our Pasuk Vav. It says the same thing, Ki Ani Hashem. And how does this relate to the words Lo Shonisi? Keni Hashem, V'zeh Shem Keni Hashem, Shomarti Lachem B'Mitzrayim Lachem Alechem Lo Shonisi, V'Todir Oimer Loshon Zeh, U'Lezeh Atem B'nei Yaakov Lo Chilisem. Because of the Rachamim, I'm not going to destroy you. Lo Chilisem. Okay, but I also want to maybe suggest something, is that the idea of Lo Shonisi, the principle. Now again, we had many translations for the word Loishanisi. We just finished learning the Malbim who explained that the word Loishanisi means I never had to repeat. And he is interpreted, I never had to repeat and punish a nation twice. I wiped them out in one shot. But we did learn previously last week that Loishanisi means I don't change. Hashem says I am consistent. That's the most, I'm stable. It's one of the most, the biggest milas in a person. Okay? A person is consistent. He's stable. He's not, he doesn't vacillate. You know, I talk about it to people with Shaduchim. When they read Shaduchim, and you hear about a boy that he went 1 year, he went to this yeshiva. And the next year, he went to this yeshiva. And then he spent, in the 12th grade, half of 12th grade, he went to this yeshiva. And the other half of 12th grade, he went to another yeshiva. And then he went to this college, and then he went here. That's a very dangerous, a lot of red flags. That means there's a lack of stability. There's a lack of consistency. And that's a very, very dangerous, dangerous midah when a person is not able to be steady and be consistent and stable. Hashem is the ultimate form of stability in this world. Ani Hashem loy shonisi. In life, you look back 10 years ago. There are things that have happened to each person, every single person throughout the world, in let's say in a span of 10 years. You would never in your wildest imagination imagine that the people that you were so friendly with, now you are very distant from. And the people that you did not like, you become their best friends. And the job you thought you would never have, you have. Or what you thought was a rock in your life, no more. Okay, things change. Things always change. And mashayase hazman lo yase hasechel. But there is one thing that always remains a constant, and that is Hashem. Hashem never changes. Hashem, Hashem's derech, Hashem's existence, Hashem's musar, Hashem's hashkocha, Hashem's rachamim, that is one thing that never ever changes. The nusach ha-tfilah has not changed in 10 years. But where you daven on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that has changed for many people. And who your friends are, and what your values are, and how you imagined you would be spending your days, all that has changed. But the nusach ha-tfilah never changed. Why not? Because Hashem doesn't change. Ani Hashem lo yishonisi. Not changing is an element of harshness, of din. There's a certain stiffness, right? There's a certain stiffness in not deviating one moment. They have a lot of jokes with the Yekkes, the German Jews. One day in shul, there were a lot of quarters on the floor. So what happened to all the quarters? The Gabbai Tztaka, he was 10 seconds late. During Chazaras HaShatz, everyone takes out a quarter that comes around. You open, you have a quarter, and you open up your hand. So the Gabbai Tztaka, he comes around. Where I sit, when he gets to the word Re'eino V'onyenu, he passes me. So when the Gabbai Tztaka comes, Re'eino V'onyenu, I open up my hand, and I drop the quarter into his hand. That particular day, the Gabbai was 10 seconds late, or 3 seconds late. So when it came to Re'eino V'onyenu, he wasn't there. I opened my hand, he wasn't there, it fell on the floor. I don't change. I do it exactly.
Robotic.
Right. There's a certain harshness. A harshness, a computer. Isn't it very frustrating? You go to the bank. Right? I remember the first time I'd make a deposit. I don't know if anyone does on the phone. Take a picture of the check. I started doing this recently, I'm not doing checks and deposits. But you used to go to the bank, you go to the bank teller, you write down, you write the slip, and you sign it, and you give it to the teller. She asks you a question if something's not right. 1, 2, right, you're out of there. Whatever. So you have to wait in line. So now you take a picture, check. The computer says, no good. What's no good? What's the problem? You have to read the fine print. The computer is very tough. It's very strict. Loi shanisi. You gotta be perfect. I am not gonna make its program. Its program is a machine. Its program, a computer is midas hadin. It's unforgiving. It's unforgiving. We're living now in a generation where everything is computerized. That's din. When you're dealing with a machine, everything has to be exactly the way it was programmed to be. There is no room for deviation. When you go to a person, you have a conversation, and the person understands where you're coming from. The person adapts and changes. That's rachamim. Living in a world of robots is an element of din.
Go to the airport. I had a boarding pass that spelled my last name with an S. My accent, the typo was a D. And we had to change because I said, if you go over there, the computer's just going to reject it. It's not going to accept it. My wife had that. My brother had renewed his driver's license in Florida. And his name is unique. He's the only person with this name. But his middle initial was wrong. They made a mistake. And he had to get an affidavit to say to change it.
Normally, rejected.
You would go there and the person would just say, yeah,
right.
I know it's
Midas Hadin. So the principle of loishon nisi, not to deviate one mashahu, this is a dimension of din. And what does it say right before that? Ani Hashem, this is rachamim. Ani Hashem is Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei. Not only is it rachamim, as the chidon he brings from the shach. Okay, this is not a stam gematria from the shach. It's not a chassidish rebbe. This is the real deal. Ani Hashem is 87. Elokim is 86. This parallels what it says in the creation. Biyoin biroi Hashem Elokim Eretz Vishamayim. Parashas Bereishis. The first pasuk in Parashas Sheni. What does it say? The first time the Yudkei Vavkei appears is in Sheni. And what does it say? Biyoin biroi Hashem Yudkei Vavkei Elokim. Rachamim Din. Rashi comments, why all of a sudden does it say Yudkei Vavkei? In the first pasuk of the Torah it says, Bereishis, Bara Elokim. Where did it come all of a sudden, Yudkei Vavkei? And Rashi answers, it was Hashem's original intent to create this world with the attribute of mercy, of din. This will still be a world of robots. Okay, a world of din. And Hashem saw, felt ice, there's no salt and pepper, just a bunch of robots. The world needs rachamim. So Hashem was mishtatef rachamim. Not only did Hashem introduce rachamim, he put rachamim first. Biyoyim biroi Hashem Elokim. This pasuk is from the last psukim of Nevi'im, the end of Tanakh, referring to Yemos HaMashiach. And look what's happening. Nochamo. Biyoyim biroi Hashem Elokim. Rachamim and din. And the rachamim comes first. Loi shonisi is a concept of din, where you're not willing to change one mashahu. You're not willing to make a single change in your life. This is how it has to be. I don't want any argument. That's din. That's a harshness. Ani Hashem is rachamim, not just rachamim. 87, according to the shach. It trumps Elokim. And the two are juxtaposed. And in which order? Rachamim comes before din. This is the end of days. This Yemos HaMashiach. Parallel creation. Biyoyim biroi Hashem Elokim ani Hashem lo yishonisi. Yeah. Umishpat. First it's tzedakah, rachamim, and then mishpat and din. Excellent. Same thing. Hashem, rachamim.
By Noach, Hashem changed his mind.
By Noach, Hashem. So there are many Purushim Rashi. What that means? By Noach, Hashem, because man was evil. I mean, first of all, Pashim Shadim, man had gets to a certain point. You know, it gets to a certain point where man is so corrupt, so evil. Hashem has no choice. Okay, so this concludes this Chaimus Anoch. Okay, so now we come to. Let's just start a little bit. The next pasuk. Next pasuk is. Is a very frightening pasuk. It's a very difficult pasuk. It's a very powerful pasuk, and it's a very famous pasuk. In fact, Hayikba Adam Elokim. Now this means to rob. The word yikba is not a very common word, and it's not easily understood. But it means to rob. Now you'll ask, rob. We have many words in the Torah for theft. There's geneva. There's gezela. There is oishek. Those are the three popular words, right? Gneva. Gneva normally means when you steal secretly. Gezela is openly. You steal brazenly. No mask. No mask. You come in and this is a holdup. No mask. Openly. And oishek. Oishek is extortion, which is a it's also like a different we discussed this, the different types of extortion. It doesn't sound good, the word oshek. It's a form of thievery. And now we have a new word called hayikba. So what is this word? So let's see. And here it's presented in the question hayikba adam elokim. So we have to first define this fourth word, how it relates to the other three. And the statement over here is it's a question, a rhetorical question. Can adam rob elokim? Do you really think you can steal from Hashem? What do you think you're doing? Ki atem kovim oisi. Because that's exactly what you're doing. You're robbing me. Vamartem, and what do you reply when I present the accusation, I present the evidence, you say, what are you talking about? We have a different set of rules here. Bameh ki va'anucha, how did we rob you? And the answer is, hamaser v'hatruma. Hashem's response is, you have to put a comma. You know how you robbed me? You did not give the Kohanim the Meiser, the Levim, the Meiser, you did not give the Kohanim the Truma. What's very interesting over here is that the order. First you give Truma, and then you give Meiser. The truth is, it's a sandwich. Everything about this, you give Truma twice. The Kohen, the Yisrael gives the Kohen 1/50th of his produce as Truma. Whatever is remaining, he takes 10% and gives that to the Levi. The Levi then takes 10% of what he has received and gives that what's called Terumas Maiser. So it's like Koirech. When you ever talk about Shuman Maiser, you think about Pesach. Kach hoye hillel oise bezman shebeis tam sheikame Koirech matzo umoror v'oichel b'yachad. Make a sandwich. A peanut butter sandwich. A slice of bread on top, a slice of bread on the bottom, and in the middle, you have some peanut butter. In the middle, you have Meiser. And on the top and on the bottom, you have Terumah. The technique of giving away your produce to the clergy is first you give Terumah, then you give Meiser, and from the Meiser, you give the Levi, he in turn gives 10% as Terumah. So it's Terumah, Meiser, Terumah. The Meiser is sandwiched in two gifts of Terumah. So whenever it says someone with the word Terumah in the Torah or a Navi, you have to ask yourself the question, which Terumah are we referring to? Are we referring to the Terumah that comes first? Or are we referring to the Terumah's Meiser? Over here, and then the order becomes significant as well. And especially here, when you make an accusation, there's a Senate hearing taking place over here for the whole world to see. And there's an accusation being presented. And the accusation is, you have stolen, you have robbed Hashem. What did you steal from Hashem? You stole the Terumah and the Meiser. The Kohanim and the Levim are Hashem's agents. You have not paid them. You have not given them their due. You have not given them the Terumah, the Meiser, and the Terumah. Okay, let's see over here. This one pasuk, though we do a few at a time, but this is a very important pasuk. I want to do this one pasuk by itself because of its importance.
There's another way of looking at it. So, the Trumas and Meisters, you have to count. So the farmer says, I'm not going to count because I know why there shouldn't be a bracha. So Hashem says, Chaluni no besois atu. So in other words, when you take off Truma and Meisra, although you're going to be counting, you'll see a sinan bracha.
Very interesting. Hashem says, don't worry about the counting. Don't think by counting you're gonna lose. You're gonna lose that. Very, very nice. Very nice idea. Very nice idea. Okay, let's see. Look a little bit to the Sion just for a second. On page 897, Hayigba, Inyan Oishek. Yigba means theft. Kimo v'kava es koyveim nofesh. They rob from those who have been victimized of the robbing their very life. This means murder. In this context, it means you steal somebody's neshama. How do you steal his neshama? You kill him. By murdering him, you've taken away his neshama. Now let's look at the Mitzvah to David. Pasuk Ches, Hayikba Ha'im Hogun Adavah She'ashoik Odom Es Elokim. Is it correct for a person to steal from Hashem? Asher Atem Oishkim Oisi, because that's exactly what you're doing. You're robbing from me. V'amartem V'im Tomu B'dvar Monu Oishkim Oischa. How are we robbing from you? The answer is, you have to put a comma, so the pasuk has to be chopped up. Hamaser return aloymar al ze al shiv al shatem oishkim mimeni as hamaisav yachuma ki inchem loistim oisam el akoyan valvim mishorsai. You are denying the Kohanim and the Levim their rightful due, their entitlement. That is the theft. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasaches hayikva adam rabbeinu perishu l'shoin gizela ulish v'l'shoin aramihu. So here we have over here two major bombs Rashi has dropped. Number one. he deviated from, I mean, the other way around, but the Mitzudas, notice the Mitzudas, you translated, the Mitzudas is very precise in his translation. And the Mitzudas has a lot of Rishonim, he came last. He has a lot of Rishonim, he's an Acharon, he has a lot of Rishonim to take from, to plagiarize from. I don't mean that literally, but to take it. And he knew what Rashi said, that it says Rashi Gezela, and yet he decided to translate the word Oshek. Oshek is not the same thing as Gezela. Oshek normally means you pay the person. You pay them. I see you have a beautiful house. How much is this house? How much does it cost? It's not for sale. I didn't hear what you said. How much do you want for your house? It's not for sale. Listen, I have a weapon in my pocket. I don't want to have to take it out. Here's $5 million. Take the $5 million and get out of the house. I want this house. I told you it's not for sale. Didn't I tell you I have a nuclear bomb in my pocket? Okay, I'm leaving. That's called Oshek. You pay the person, but he doesn't want to sell. That's also called robbery. And in some instances, that's even worse in a certain way. Because
a
legalized way, you make it kosher, you kosherize the robbery. In a certain sense, it's even worse. It's even worse. You've taken away something that is irreparable, that is sentimental, that is value cannot even be defined in terms of money because you're not willing to sell it. In many ways, it's even worse. And you get away with it. Oshek is a type of gezela that you get away with. Now, you don't, I mean, if you can prove that it's Oshek, then you won't get away with it. But Gneiv and Gezela, if you're caught, you're caught. When the music stops, you're out. But Oshek is a type of theft that you kosherize, right? You make this picture that it's kosher. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says that it's Gezela. Gezela is a brazen form of thievery. Gezela. I'm saying the parish of Lashon Gezela. And then he also tells another very important principle that it's Lashon Aramiyu. This is Aramaic. Now, notice the Targum does not say the word over here, the
That's
word
right.
Hayigba, that it's Gezel. He says Hayargez, it means some, anger.
Because that some suggest that it's actually Aravi, not
Aramaic. Aravi means
Aramaic.
Aravi. Okay, Aramaic is Aramaic. The different languages, I always mix all those three. There are three languages, there are three that are very similar. Ivri, Arami, and Aravi. There are three languages that are all intertwined. Ivri, Hebrew. Aravi, with a bays, which is Arabic. And Arami, with a mem, which is Aramaic. They're all the different languages. They're related, they're all cousins. And that's why the letters are very similar, but those are three languages. So now, this is very, very, very fascinating, because this is what we started with. What exactly is the difference between Gneiva, Gezela, Oshek, and the word, this word, Kuf Beis Ayin? Well, Rashi basically told us the answer. Lavon BK Shla'akar Esako. Arami Oyved Avi. It's not just extortion, it's trickery. You take the speckled, I'll take the solid. You take the solid, I'll take the speckled. It's a higher level of Oshek. Oshek, at least you know what's going on. Okay? It's like voting in the United States. Arami oyved avi. You make people believe that no, that you don't just steal from them. The people who are the victims will tell you, you've done nothing wrong to me. It's fair and square. That's trickery. Everything, what do you mean? I didn't do anything to you. I didn't take anything away from you against your will. Don't you agree that everything over here is, let's do an audit. Let's count the votes. Let's do this. You see, everything over here is kosher v'yosher. It's the worst of the worst. And the only way we know this is because Rashi has revealed to us that the word hayikba is the Aramaic form of theft.
And when you want to talk about the Aramaic form of theft, there's only one person that comes to mind, and that is Lavan Ho'arami. And there was no one that was a bigger deceiver than Lavan Ho'arami. So Sach HaKol, we only came to learn this, was Kedai. There are four types of theft in this world, at least, that we know of. Geneva, you get away with it. In the middle of the night, under the cover of darkness, no one knows, you commit the perfect crime. Okay, probably half of the entertainment industry is devoted to crimes, right? Is the fantasized committing the perfect crime and to try to uncover who's the criminal, who did it. And then there is gezeila, brazen chutzpah, open thievery, and you just don't care because I come from the government. I'm here to help you. Out in the world, right? Out in the open. And then there is oshek, where basically there's nothing you can do about it. Oshek is like we discussed. And then there is crooked. You steal from people in a crooked way. You create a system that is corrupt, but the people, they buy into it. That all is the invention of Lavan Ho'arami. And here what is so frightening is Hashem accuses us of the worst. Hashem accuses us of Hayikba Adam Elokim. I mean, it's very similar. Eretz Yisrael, you don't understand Lashon about Eretz Yisrael, I'm not saying Lashon about Eretz Yisrael, is the people that are very frustrated in like you hear like in the government, in doing business. Like sometimes the system, no, forget Eretz Yisrael, totally in America. Sometimes the system is so corrupt, the only way you can make a parnasa is by engaging in all these unethical and corrupt business practices. That's called Hayikba. Hayikba Adam Elokim. Do you think you can go and you can be crooked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A crooked type of theft where Hashem will buy into the system and will say that, okay, yeah, what you're doing is good. Are you out of your mind? That's exactly what you're doing. Ki Atem Kovim Oisi. That's exactly what you're doing. You're robbing from me in the most crooked way. You're creating a corrupt system. And you yourself are sort of a maritim. It's like a play on the words. That's exactly what this type of theft is. It's where it's so corrupt, you actually believe that this is the way it's supposed to be done. Okay, so that's how Rashi has revealed to us what is the significance of this word. And the answer is Hamasa Ve'atuma Shatem Goizlim Minayna Koyhanim Min Alvim Hi Gizelosi. And this will part of the problem is you're not giving the tithes to the Koyhanim and Levim. Let's see of the Radak. The Radak Pasik, the Pasik says, Yikva Yesh Bochem Dover Acher Shabavuroi Royal Lihi Dabek Bochem Hame'era. There's another reason why you are deserving of the curse. Omar, and to that he says, Hayikba Adam Elokim Kiatem Kog Moisiv Amartem Ve'im Toimu Bamekir Va'anucha. The answer is, everyone says the same, you have to put a comma there. The answer is, V'amartem, Hamas HaTruma Hayikba, you're not giving the Maiser Truma. Now here comes the Radak. Hayikba Koivim Kivanuch. We have the word appears in this pasuk three times. What does this word mean? It means, Inyan Gezela Ulekichas Hadavar Behech Reach. That's like extortion. That's Osha. That's what the Mitzvah David said. That was quoted by the Mitzudos. The Yodisam Tirgim is a different translation. Hayargez Givar Kodam Dayana. Can you?
That's the
term. Try this. So what does one Yargez? Yargez means to anger, to act in a. Can you scare the judge? It's like, can you threaten the judge?
Intimidate.
Do you think you can intimidate the judge? Okay, yargez means to be angry, to express yourself in an angry, violent way, as if to say to the judge, basically you're gonna threaten the judge. If you don't decide this law in my favor, I'll cut you out. I will make your life miserable. You threaten Hashem. You think you could threaten me? So this is an entirely different translation of the word. Of Hayikba, it doesn't really relate so much to. It's only indirectly related to Gzela. Hayargez Givar Kodem Dadayana Hare Atun Mar Gizin Kodemai. You're angering me. Now, You're angering me how? B'ma'asro uvis rumsa, by not giving the kaihanim what they deserve. You are angering me. So the problem of you, I don't really understand what this means because it's not, it doesn't really, the words don't really flow. Pasuk Ches, look at Pasuk Ches in the Targum. Hayargeiz givar kodam da yono. Do you think, you, maybe what it means is, do you think you can get away with it? Do you think you can get away with angering Hashem? And you'll say, what, how are we getting you angry? How are we angering you? And the answer is by denying the Kohanim and the Levim. I'm not sure, maybe we'll see more, we'll see a better translation of the Targum. There's something I'm missing in the Targum. Let's look very quickly over here for one moment at the Malbum. The Malbum Pasuk Zayin says, or it's a Pasuk Ches, very short, Hayikba. Okay, Hayikba v'chi roi sh'odam yikba es elokim b'bli los es leih hazamagi elokim yurab Hashem v'ayashay tov b'mek v'anucha haloi hu amas v'atru v'shem v'chelik Hashem. He's not saying very much. Look at the Be'er HaMilos. Hayikba po'al, okay, kuf beis ayin, hunach, this word, this root word, hunach, it is related to al oshak, hatzedaka v'hamasras, the al zeba po v'mishlei chabeis. So he's saying over here something a little bit different, a new idea, which no one here says, and that is the word yikba, it means specifically to deny social services. Okay, there is robbing in the business world. You go out into the world and you steal, you rob a bank. You go out into the world and you steal someone's car. You go out and you don't pay wages. You owe someone money and you don't want to pay him. That's called gezel, that's oshek. But when you deny someone food stamps, okay, you're a clerk, and you deny him his social security check, that's called yikba, okay, yikba. People who want to deny you your entitlements of social services, tzedakah, that's a different type of yikba. Like, you don't want to say someone like I we don't like talking about politics about it. I was very horrified about in New York State they fired 83,000 healthcare workers because they refused to take the vaccine. All right, I'm not here to talk politics, none of my business. Why do I want to take this? Fine, but they fired them with mamash or etzicha, and then they said to them also, you're not getting unemployment. You're not getting unemployment.
That's actually the law.
Right, that's what they said. So
that's not just a policy, that's actually
they made that, well, they made it into the law. So you're denying other people, there are other people. So the people will argue back, the people, I'm not coming over here to engage in any People, they'll argue back and they'll say, you know, you want to fire us. But people get fired all the time for all different reasons. There are people who are in violation of they're not good workers. They make trouble. They sabotage the business. They're not entitled also?
If it's for cause.
For cause? Okay, then maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But when a person is robbed from social services, the Malbum is saying this is called a new term. It's not just called gezel. It's not called geneva. It's not called oshek. To deny someone an entitlement for whatever the reason. No one, entitlements obviously are not a good thing. But the society is set up as a safety net when people, Rahmanul Litzlan, they lose their job, so you pay taxes, you're paying it to yourself, really, right? You're paying taxes, so supposedly the tax that you're paying, one day, if Rahmanul Litzlan, a person loses his job, until you find another job, you have unemployment, a few bucks to keep you afloat. If you're denying that from me because I feel it's, whatever, let's say in a real case, and let's say in a case where it's, for l'chol hades, it would be unjust. That is called, the Malbum is touching that with the word kuf beis ayin. All right, we're going to stop here. Mitzvah, tomorrow we'll just finish up the Mamar Chazal and go further. Take a short break. I want to spend some time, we'll do a little, maybe some things about Parshas Noach, and I want to talk a little about Shemitah. Now that we started a new year,